hello, and welcome to the show. It's Monday. It's April Fool's Day. This is no foolish matter. We're talking sports with friends, and we got a lot to talk about. We just had a big weekend of sports. We have the Final Four of opening day in baseball. We had one game yesterday, but everybody else is teed up to go today. So come join us. Come talk sports with friends. I'm Ray. That's Tal Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. And, yes, we're hyped. I mean, great sports weekend, great sports Sunday. A lot going on, a lot going on this week. We got a busy week for you. And, listen, just join the show. You want to give us a call at 718-664-9098 and tweet at us at Twitter, man. We got a lot of conversation. We got a lot of news, predictions, everything we do on Twitter, man. Ray and Tay Today at Twitter. Always, always email us, and we get your emails on the air, rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. And check out our website, rayandtaytoday.com. Very interactive, a lot of poll questions, a lot of fun. And, yeah, man, we're going to get into some stuff. We'll have probably up there soon, or you can find out and check it out. Our Fantasy Baseball League got started Sunday night and today, and Ray and Tay Today will give you our rosters and all that good stuff. But, Ray, let them know, man, how we talking today? Final Four, our Yankees lose. Let them know what we're going to talk about.
Wow. So we got a lot to talk about. So without further ado, let's do it. Breaking news. We usually break the news of the day in the sports world. We'll talk a quick shout-out in tennis. We got some NFL trades and free agency, so it's heating up a little bit in the NFL. Then we'll get into a whole segment about the NBA. Talk about the Knicks, the Heat, the Spurs, the Celtics. We're heading towards a playoff stretch in the NBA, and a lot of interesting things are happening as we come down the stretch. Then, Major League Baseball. And again, shout out last night. We had a game, the Astros and the Rangers, but everybody else is really looking at today as their opening day in MLB. So we'll get through that. We'll talk about there's some games that have been completed. There's also some teams that start tomorrow, but we'll get into it. Definitely have a lot to talk about, and we'll end the segment with the real news of the weekend, which was the NCAA tournament. We have four teams, folks. We got a 1, a 4, a 4, and a 9 seed going to Atlanta for the Final Four of the men's basketball tournament. We'll also do a quick shout-out to the women. And we had a big upset this weekend. Nobody thought that was coming, not in the Sweet 16 round. So folks are real happy in Louisville right now, in Louisville, Kentucky. Folks are probably a lot of
basketball
hangovers.
Basketball capital
today
of the world, man, Kentucky.
Yeah, today this is where you want to be, Louisville, Kentucky. So let's get into it. Let's get into the breaking news. Let's tell the folks what's going on out there in the world.
Well, listen, man, let's run around and I don't know. I mean, there's so much going on. I guess, you know, we can get into a little bit of the football news, as we'll talk about it later. But just hot off the presses, Colt McCoy from the Cleveland Browns was traded since they just signed Jason Campbell as a backup and they have Brandon Wheaton. They just traded him for, and they switched draft picks, but they just traded him to the San Francisco 49ers. So I think that's kind of interesting. The Niners got their backup quarterback, and they got some draft choices. And, of course, you know, we talked about Cobb going to Buffalo, which you know how Tay feels about that. That's ridiculous. But Matt Flynn today, another trade, going from the Seahawks, right, where he just got there last year. Well, another offseason, he's moving. The Flynn family's packing. And Flynn is going to start to be the new, possibly, well, definitely the new Raiders quarterback because Terrell Pryor will be the backup and maybe they draft somebody. And it looks like they're working out a deal. The Cardinals are close to trading for Carson Palmer. So they're just trying to work out the particulars with, you know, what round draft choice they're going to give up. So that's kind of interesting, man. There's some moves going on, obviously, and the NFL is always busy. And it's about a quarterback. The quarterbacks are moving, you know.
Well, you want to get your quarterbacks in place before mini camp, training camp, OTA. You know, you got to get that playbook in place. You want to get your scheme in place because everything revolves around the quarterback in the NFL. So if you've got a running quarterback, that puts a lot of stress on an offense and an offensive coordinator that's been historically a passing quarterback, right, a drop-back passer. So if you've got a guy like, Russell Wilson, you're creating a different offense than if you've got a guy like Carson Palmer back there. So,
Well, this also shows, but it also shows with all this movement that people are not that high on the projected quarterbacks to be in the first and second round in this draft class. So I think that's also what you're seeing in terms of people lining up. And maybe teams like the Jets, Bills, Cardinals, Raiders, and Jaguars might not take a quarterback in the first round now and, continue to develop their team and maybe take a quarterback in the second round or trade back in late first round.
It's funny because now that quarterbacks have gotten cheaper, so you don't have to do all this guaranteed money, for first-round quarterbacks. So in some ways, people are more willing to take a risk on a quarterback at the front end of the first round because it's not like Sam Bradford where you got to guarantee the guy $50 million. And if you think he might be a bust, you're saying to yourself, wow, I got to guarantee him $50 million, or Jamarcus Russell guaranteed $39 million when he came out. So now with that rookie salary cap and wage scale, it's more palatable to take a quarterback in the first round. The problem is, sometimes there just aren't quarterbacks worthy of first-round picks, and that's okay. It's okay to say, look, the kids coming out of college this year are not better than the 35 or 40 starting quarterbacks running around there in the NFL. It's okay to say that Geno Smith and Matt Barkley and these guys don't excite you. Not every year do you have to take a first-round quarterback that can come into the NFL, especially now that quarterbacks used to hold a clipboard. Now they're expected to produce in the first season, which
I think
is also
a mistake. But let me ask you this. Don't you think the Bills, we all know what Tavares Jackson is and has been. Then you're talking about Cobb, who doesn't have a gun under the arm, going into the AFC East in that weather and that division, especially in Buffalo, New York, where you need a gun like Jim Kelly had. I honestly think if they don't do it at the number 8 pick, they're going to have to maybe come back and trade to get, unless it seems that someone's going to fall in the second round. But I got to believe that they should take a shot in developing a quarterback.
I'm fine with that. But I'm also fine with saying if you don't have a quarterback that's a first round worthy, if you don't, you look at the landscape.
All right, don't reach. Definitely don't reach.
You know what? Don't. Get yourself, somebody that's good enough for the next year or two or three, and in the meantime, select somebody. Try to get a Kaepernick in the second round or a Joe Montana in the third round.
Well, people believe that he'll take the quarterback from Syracuse, Doug Marrone, that he coached at Syracuse, that they might take him, which would be interesting. And then also, you never know, in the second round, it's very easily, it very easily could work out that, you got the McLennan guy or, Landry Jones. You got a lot. There's about 5 or 6 quarterbacks that could go in the first 2 to 3 rounds, so they could probably get somebody. Also, the Bengals. This is kind of interesting. Terrence Newman of your former Cowboys decided to give the Bengals a deal, and he re-signed with the Bengals for less money, which helps them because they're still trying to sign their stud offensive lineman, Andre Smith. So I thought that was interesting. And then the Panthers possibly might bring in an ex-Giant at wide receiver, Dominic Hickson. He's visiting with the Panthers today. So there's a lot going on in the NFL.
Liked Cincinnati, playing for Zimmer. So it seems like a nice fit.
Yeah, and teams are starting their off-season workouts today. So they can't meet with the coaches, but they come in for conditioning and stuff. And it's involuntary. So, of course, the Chiefs, the tackle, Albert, he was franchised and probably not too happy about it. So he was a no-show today in Kansas City. So I thought that was kind of funny. You don't want to do that, though, right, when you're starting with a new regime and you're saying, I want to stay at left tackle. Well, show up the first day, dude. Show up the first day. That irritates me.
Right, and beat somebody out. Hold on. I think we have a caller here.
Hey, what's
Hello,
up,
caller?
Yeah. Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? Oh, it's Big Hank, everybody. It's Dolphins.
Hey, welcome to Ray and Tay, Hank.
Dolphins making what's moves.
Happening? Yeah, you know what? The Dolphins are trying to do a little something. I, you know, luckily, I think no one's expecting us to take over the world, so we can hopefully have these guys on our team for a while and coach them up, because I don't want it to be like the Eagles. You know what I mean?
Oh, with all those moves, I thought you were planning to take over the world with all those free agency signings. You want to sign Steelers and sign away Falcons and get all these different players and Ravens. I'm figuring you're trying to take over the world.
Take
no,
out
no,
Tom Brady and then process. You'll take over the world.
It's a slow process where, you know, look, highest expectations are trying to get a wild card. Nobody, you know, everybody knows we're not going to win a division, so let's just have a slow process, develop our quarterback, and incrementally get better each year. Now, you know, taking over the world, that's just, I mean, not in the AFC. You know what I mean? It's just not going to happen. But I wanted to ask you guys, how come nobody's talking about this quarterback from Florida State? Why is he not like, I mean, obviously I know he's not a first rounder because probably nobody is. But, I mean, he's not even in the conversation with guys. They're
no,
about,
no. Mike
no,
Mayock has got
combine.
Him second
he
on his board. Mike Mayock's got him second on his board, and he's easily right now being considered the second, if not third, quarterback, you know, off the board. I mean,
wait,
obviously
Mayock
people are debating. Well,
Mayock
people are debating Geno.
Geno?
No, no. People are saying Geno first, and then a lot of people were
and
saying, yeah, Mayock's got Manuel second and Barkley third. But Barkley
really?
Have a decent pro day, so we'll see. But those are the top three quarterbacks without a doubt.
Oh, okay, because, you know, everyone's saying, like, oh, the guy from Syracuse might go to the Bills. And I'm like, why the hell would they do that?
No,
right?
No, no. That would only happen in the second round. Plus, you got the kid from NC State and Landry Jones. Those are the top six of the quarterbacks. Those are the top six.
All these guys besides Geno Smith are second rounders, though, right? Or am I wrong?
It all depends on what happens. Remember this, though, Hank, right? You know what teams like to do? They see how it's going. And then because of what Ray just said 5 minutes ago, without having these big-time contracts, at the
that's
end
true.
Of the first round, you know teams, they'll make
yep.
a trade. They'll send their second-round pick and a fourth-round pick to move up to spot 27 or 23. You know, like teams like, who is it, the Vikings. Vikings now have 23 and 25. So Buffalo, the Cardinals, the Jets, one of these teams could sneak back in. Right?
Yeah.
You move their second and their fourth and then go get one of these quarterbacks at 23 or 25 towards the end of the first round. It's going to happen, guarantee
well,
you.
Here's the thing. Also, there's human nature. And Hank, you and I have watched enough of these drafts, especially think about this. Think about a guy like Christian Ponder, who wasn't even projected to be a first-round pick, and
that's
then
true.
There's suddenly a run on quarterbacks, and yeah. he gets picked 12, and the guy's not a first-rounder, and he
yep.
gets picked 12. So the problem is also, you know, we sit here and we kind of analyze the board, all of us, but I think what happens, you know, maybe it's just human nature and the psychology of drafts. If there starts to be a run, yeah, if there starts to be a run on quarterbacks, people are like, oh my God, quarterback's so important, especially at that position. Quarterback's so important. I have this guy as a second or third round, but he won't be there. So I
what if
I
he's good enough?
Him.
What if I could develop him, you know?
Yeah, well, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. Well, I know you guys got a lot to talk about, but I just want to say what's up. And, you know, it's NFL all time, all, you know. every day, man.
It
every
definitely
day.
Is, man. But today is May. Don't you smell the grass? I heard it was 61 degrees in New York. Yankee Stadium barely filled out. I don't know what's up with that. Barely sold out. But you got to be excited, even though the Yankees got spanked.
Well, Yankees and the Mets started together for the first time in years. They both had
yeah.
a 1 o'clock start time at home.
Yeah, the Yankees, I know you guys are going to talk about it, but they
yeah.
don't have an offense. You know what I mean? If they don't hold guys to less than three runs, they don't have enough offense to keep up. They don't. But anyway,
no,
I'll let you guys go.
All right, Hank. Well, listen, make sure you tune in Wednesday, man, our Major League Baseball preview show. We're going to give all our picks, and we have a special guest, Bob Brenly, who former World Series champion. From
yeah,
the Arizona
yeah.
Diamondbacks.
Yeah, beat
oh,
our
yeah,
Yankees.
Man. All right. You guys have a good one.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Take care, Hank. Thanks for the call.
So,
that's
Ray, why don't you tell
because,
us?
Yeah, real quick story, though. Bob Brenly is the manager of that, you know, Diamondbacks World Series. But Hank and I and Brett were watching Game 6 together. When Soriano hits the home run, or game seven, sorry, when Soriano hits the home run, and we're thinking, all right, Yankees are going to win this game. And then, obviously, you know, they come back against Mariano and that little bloop hit by Gonzalez wins them the game.
Listen,
yeah, we were watching game seven.
Tell Bob, we'll have to tell Bob that he definitely broke our hearts. Because, you know, us New Yorkers, and I know all our Yankee fans out there from Jonathan, who called in last year in the playoffs, and Christina Zapata, Virginia Gonzalez, all the Yankee fans are hyped up, but this could be a rough year, man. This could be a rough year. But let's continue with some of the breaking news. Tell us what happened in tennis, man, because it's kind
quick,
of a good matchup with Serena won, right?
Well, both. The Sony Open had two interesting finals. So first in the men's finals, you had a crazy comeback. So Andy Murray comes back, you know, from down championship point to win against David Ferrer. And then Serena, talk about a comeback. Serena wins the last 10 games to beat Maria Sharapova and win her Sony title, which wins the Sony title, which gives her the most titles in women's tennis history. So, unbelievable weekend at Sony down in Biscayne Bay. So for all you Floridians following the tennis, Andy Murray, Serena Williams gave you a little show this weekend.
Yeah, no, you know, it's listen, it's so funny because American tennis has sort of been, you know, down, you know, more so on the men, but, you know, you got to give Serena and Venus credit. They have held the USA down in tennis and just as sisters held down tennis for quite a long time now, man. It's an impressive run.
You peak, especially as a woman, as a man too, though, but you peak in your early 20s in that sport. So if you're on the back half of your 20s, let alone 30s, but if you're in the back half of your 20s, you are already over the hill. So where is U.S. tennis from here? You know, all the Eastern
European. Well, Sloane Stephens is definitely the,
yeah, she
the
did
one
all right.
For the women.
She did all right. She beat Serena.
We'll see her develop. But the men, who do we have?
Yeah, we need a little bit of U.S. needs a little
whatever
bit.
Whatever happened to Blake?
Send some more kids down to IMG Academy down there in Florida. Get your ground strokes right. Get your serve right because U.S. tennis is not looking so great.
Yeah, no, definitely. So man, why don't we let's swing it to the NFL? I mean to the NBA, man. You know where I think before we even get into sort of the weekend and stuff. Just in some sort of current news, and this one is kind of, you know, we both talk about this a lot throughout the season. Our boy Brandon Roy, he's still working, trying so hard to return, and he wants to see if he can come back from his, you know, obvious injuries and just multiple pains he's had with those knees. He's trying to come back before the season ends just to play out the rest of the season to see if at all, you know, he can, you know, even return for next season. And then also, I thought this was pretty interesting. You know, I'm a big fan when we talked about some of our segments, the Pargo brothers. You know, Gennaro was my man, talking about where you at and how he was doing, and no, you're not ready. But my man, Jeremy Pargo got waived by the Sixers. They're bringing up their young guard that they drafted, Justin Holiday, so... You know, I got to look out for them Pargo brothers, man. They're scrappy.
You got a little
and, you
thing
know.
For the Pargo brothers, right?
Yo, especially
that.
Gennaro, man. I got to keep up on the Pargo brothers. I don't think they get no love nowhere. But, you know, this is interesting. A lot of guys are starting to declare for the draft. So it looks like Archie Goodwin from Kentucky is coming out, which you and I both probably, not ready, right? And then C.J. Leslie, who you kind of expected from NC State, junior. I don't know. I think guys should stay, but I guess C.J. Leslie's like it's a weak draft. I had a decent, you know, decent season. Let me come out. But well, you know what's interesting with all these guys coming out, right? Jeff T., who, you know, star in the NBA for the Atlanta Hawks, he actually came out and said he told his brother, Marcus T., who's playing backup on the Bulls, and that actually has gotten some good minutes this season. Not great because of no Derrick Rose. He told him that he should have stayed at Kentucky. So I think that's kind of interesting, the perspective of a brother and a player to a player, right?
I got to feel like it'd be interesting to do a little case study here, but But I have to feel like that second year in college is a big year, because you figure you're coming out of high school, and unless you're Carmelo Anthony or Anthony Davis and you just dominate the scene and win a national championship, you're learning a new tempo. Guys are bigger, better, faster, and much stronger, for all you EPMD heads out there. And, you know, the real growth is probably between first and second year. So if you're going to be a freshman and you're not going to be taken in the first half of the first round, then it makes a lot of sense potentially to go back to school and really shine as a sophomore. I would say maybe even stay to your junior year. But I get what these kids
like
are doing.
Like Cody Zeller should.
I get what these kids are doing, right? It's a guaranteed, you know, at the top of the first round is guaranteed, you know, what is that, about $4 or $5 million a year for three, plus the team has the option for 4 years. So you're talking about $15-20 million guaranteed. So if somebody told you, Tay, stop the radio show, man, you're going to get $15-20 million guaranteed to play basketball, you'd say, wow, that's pretty good. But the other thing that's motivating these kids is, so anytime you're a first-round pick, you're guaranteed money, right? That's great. But also, if you think you have a chance to be a star, then it's all about getting to that second contract. That's where you make your big, big money. And all these guys, you know, the appeal of first-round guaranteed money plus getting a year faster to that second contract, I can't say that I don't get it, but you know, you still, some of these guys still have to work on their game. And there's something to be said for refining your tool, your skills. Forget about getting a diploma. I didn't even go there. But I'm just saying refining your skills so that for the next 10 years or 12 years you can make money and provide for your family and live that lifestyle. So
definitely.
Anyway, but back to the NBA real quick. We got some injuries.
Okay, hold on, but real quick, since you were just talking about contracts, let's just mention Elvis Andrus, who for the Rangers just inked and they reached a $120 million deal. So, I mean, we'll just talk about it, but that's an example of just like, oof, you know, it's an eight-year deal, and the money that's been going around in football and baseball lately is ridiculous, so... just ridiculous. But go ahead, man. Let's do
the NBA, it looks like this guy can't stay healthy. Manu Ginobili, he might miss the rest of the season and maybe even into the playoffs. He strained his hamstring, so he might be out 3 to 4 weeks. They're saying that Zaza Pachulia, you know, we talked about this, but he's done. His Achilles, he's going to opt for surgery. And, you know, anybody that has an Achilles injury, Ray feels
God bless. Yeah.
Kobe Bryant, we didn't really mention this, but he passed Wilt as number four on the all-time scoring list. So that's a pantheon that's pretty unbelievable, right? I mean, that's Kareem. Who we got? Kareem is number one. We got Karl Malone is number two. Michael Jordan is number three.
And he can pass Jordan next year.
Kobe Bean Bryant's number four. So kudos to him with his five championships and number four all-time in scoring.
And he would be due to pass Jordan next year.
Yeah, and Chauncey
Kobe hurt though. Talk about that.
Yeah.
With his great game the other night when the Lakers won and him and Dwight Howard got busy, Kobe's playing. He rested 22 seconds, Ray, and he's playing on bone spurs. Yo,
that's
Kobe,
why.
I honestly think he doesn't get enough respect. It's hard to say that, right? But don't you feel that right now? People don't respect him enough
for what he does and how he never misses games. And people may say he's abrasive and as a teammate, and Jordan was the same way, but you can't say that he doesn't lead by example. You might say he shoots too much, and you might say he was a little bit of a baby that one playoff game where he didn't shoot at all, where he was just passing the ball to prove a point and everything. But this guy, what you can't deny is that he wants to win all day, every day.
Every day.
And twice on Sunday where they wear their whites. By the way, I love those white uniforms. Those white Laker uniforms. I like them much
better. Yeah, and I don't even like the Lakers, but those are nice. Those are nice.
The Sunday whites. I love them almost as much as I love the Charger blues. You know I love those Charger baby blues, the powder blues.
Yeah, that's your favorite. Deep down inside, I know. I know that's your favorite.
But the Sunday whites are nice. But, yeah, Kobe, I mean –
you just don't have words for this guy. And he really does come along with the good and the bad, but he comes along once in a generation. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. He's playing with bone spurs, and he's, you know, and so.
Oh, broken fingers, jacked up ribs. I mean, whatever it is,
that's
Kobe
why when
will
he
do it.
Says to Dwight Howard, look, man, if you're medically cleared to play and the
Get
doctors say you can play, then you got to play. I'm playing with injuries, with nicks and bruises and bone spurs and all this stuff. So it's not like Kobe's sitting back and not, you know, and not showing up to games and taking games off.
He talks the talk and he walks the walk, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know. But you know what I loved about this weekend? And we talk about, let's get right into the Heat Spurs. So Ginobili was out. But guess what? You know what the Heat did? They kind of did what the Spurs did. They arrested some of their guys, right? They went on this crazy 27-game winning streak. Well, guys are tired. They lose finally, then they, you know, start a new streak, and they win, what, 2-3 in a row now. So no Wade, no Chalmers, no LeBron in San Antonio on Sunday. And guess what? No problem.
Chris
Bosh and Norris Cole played incredible. Bosh with 3 threes, 23 points, getting his boards. It was clutch. And, you know, to see these teams and to see them go at it, I mean, no Ginobili, but Norris Cole. Can I tell you, he's having a good second season. He put it on Parker and locked Parker down. Parker had like 12 and 9 assists, and Cole had like 13. Yeah, and Cole had, what, 13 and 4 assists. So kudos to the Miami Heat for winning that game in San Antonio and now have a 3-game lead on the overall record. So, you know, if it comes down to the finals and they won 2 in a row, you know, it's going to be the Spurs going to the Heat for a 7-game series. So that's pretty impressive to me, man. This Heat team, 58-15, Ray, incredible. And
yeah,
they might rest them tomorrow night against the Knicks.
At the end of the day, the Heat are getting ready for the playoffs, and as long as they have home court, they can win on the road too, right? But as long as they have home court throughout, they're going to be tough to beat. But I can't wait till the NBA Finals because I frankly don't think anybody, even our Knicks, can really give them a shot. The only team that can give them a shot is the winner of the Western Conference, and maybe in the fourth series, you know, maybe the Heat get pounded a little bit and they get bruised up a little bit by, you know, Indiana, by the Pacer. It looks like it might.
Well, the Pacers are done. No more Granger. He's out for the season. I think the Knicks got the 2 seed. The Pacers better be careful that they don't mess around and lose to Atlanta in the 3-6 matchup. You know, I really think the Pacers are done for. I don't trust them. And I think in the second round, the Knicks would beat the Pacers, especially having home court. I really do.
Speaking of the Knicks, so what do you think about the new dynamic duo, J.R. Smith and Carmelo Anthony?
Listen,
I mean, look, hats off to him because he's really stepped up his game. And, you know,
I tweeted at our boy, right?
Rebounds last night.
Yeah. You're totally right. I said, you know, I had to tweet at our boy, Ian Bagley from ESPNNewYork.com. Shout him out. Who's been on our show a couple times because, remember our last time, I told him, Ian, yo, you got to get Copeland in the game. And through this time, with all these injuries, no Chandler, no Amari, and guess what? No problem. The Knicks got an 8-game winning streak. Chandler might return, you know, Tuesday, if not, definitely Wednesday against Atlanta. But what did Copeland do? 22, a couple of, what, 7 boards. Copeland played a great game, and he can score. He's starting to play better defense. And guess what? Woodson is finally trusting him enough to give this dude the minutes, and he's earned it, man. Copeland, and how about Kenyon Martin? He got a little banged up, but they said he'll be okay. Kenyon Martin has been like our savior, just like Rasheed Wallace was our savior in the early part of the season. So Knicks fans have got to be happy with these old veterans, you know, that are, you know, old Pistons and old Nuggets that have come back to save the day for us, man. It's crazy.
Well, it's funny to me to see Jason Kidd and Kenyon Martin. I'm like, if we just had Kerry Kittles, we'd have, you know, the reincarnation of those Nets teams that went to back-to-back NBA finals, right? But
Kerry Kittles is our boy.
It's good to see the Knicks rally. They've got the 8-game winning streak, which is longest in the NBA. and it looks to me like they're finding their way. Again, they play great with their backs against the wall. If they can get a consistent second and third scorer, you know, if Copeland can deliver, that's great, because if you get anything from Amari, it's a bonus. So we'll see. The clampdown D that they had the first half of the season, I think, needs to come back. You know, if they can hit threes and find three legitimate scorers, because the games are going to slow down in the playoffs, I think that makes the Knicks dangerous through the first few rounds. Now, matching up with the Heat is something totally different, but look,
yeah.
You know, incremental progress. The Knicks haven't gotten
out
of the
first round.
Well, you
know what I like, though? You got to like this, what was also encouraging. 24-10. And this is the second double-double game in a row for Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo is really, and you don't want him to have to do this, but he's really getting aggressive and getting a lot of rebounds.
Well,
that's my only fear.
That's my only
right.
fear is that, you know, we saw this in the middle, in the dog days of, you know, whatever you call it in basketball, the dog days of January and February,
yeah.
Is that he had to work so hard through the first, call it 40 minutes of the game, that the last eight, he couldn't finish. He didn't have his legs. He didn't have that oomph that you needed to really finish. And if he needs to get 10 boards for us to win, and if he needs to play great D, I'm saying a little D is good, but great D. And, you know, when the playoffs slow down and the offense runs through him and it's such a deliberate give the ball to Carmelo, clear out, go 1-4, you know, that's too much. Now, the good thing is the playoffs are every other day, so you will get a rest, and you never play back-to-backs in the playoffs. But
and he's had some rest, I think, with some of those injuries. And remember, him and Chandler played in the Olympics, so I think that this time off that Chandler's had and a little bit of time that Melo had, I think also you're seeing that they're starting to play Melo less minutes, especially like, you know, last couple of games, and the Knicks have had, you know, decent leads. And it looks like Shumpert is starting to get his legs in. He's starting to look better.
Yeah,
he had 10 points and played well.
Anything out of Shump is a bonus. I like him. You know, again, he's one of these guys that suffers from the Adrian Peterson comparison, but there's something to be said for Derrick Rose, you know, blew out his knee on the same day, and he's not back yet. So anything we get Shump this year is gravy. I think next year is his year to really come back. That's why I hope the Knicks don't trade him. Just let him get healthy, let him do his thing, and then 2013-14 will be his, you know, his season to come back to full form.
Yeah. So what about the Western Conference, man? I mean, you know, the East is pretty locked up with the matchups. Out West, obviously, Utah, LA, and Dallas are battling for that, you know, that last spot. And Golden State and Houston, they're a game and a half between, you know, 6 and 7. What's your sort of thought as we come? Now, look, there's only 8 to 10 games left for each team. So, you know, the season is ending in a couple of weeks. So what are you thinking? What's going on in the Western Conference?
Fascinating. You know, the team that is just an enigma to me is Golden State. At times, the one thing that defines them is inconsistency. And so at times they look great, and at times they actually play D, and they share the ball. And Jarrett Jack, to me, is the key to that team, actually, taking a little bit of the pressure away from Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And, you know, obviously you know what you're going to get from David Lee and the big guys up front. Bogut, you know, again, not healthy, so you're sort of, you know, you discount him this year, maybe you know, build around him a little bit next year. But they're kind of that wild card. You know, I don't know. They're, you know, at first they were flirting with that 4-5. Now they're going to stick probably in the sixth spot, which means they're going to get probably Denver in the first round. Denver, you know, or the Clippers possibly. So that's an interesting little matchup. Oh, yeah, because the Clippers might win their division. So that's an interesting matchup. At the bottom, I mean, the top is great, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Denver, the Clippers, Memphis. Denver's the only team.
Yeah, Denver will get three. The 4-5 is going to be probably Clippers, Memphis. And
yeah.
Memphis will have the home court in that one.
But the thing is, the top five is so talented that you know, you just want to see them go 7 games, right? You just want to see as many, especially in the second round, right? But in the first round and making the playoffs, so Golden State's an enigma, and then the bottom, Houston, Utah, and the Lakers. So it looks like Houston, right? Houston got 9 more games, and Utah and LA have 8 more games, and they're both, Utah and LA are both 3 behind in the loss column. So they won't make that up. So we're looking at Utah and the Lakers. How crazy would it be if the Utah Jazz, who own the tiebreaker, end up beating out the Lakers for that 8th seed? I know San Antonio's rooting for it.
Yeah. If you're the Spurs, you are not fearing. If you're the Spurs, honestly, you're not fearing the Jazz. I mean, and kudos to Nowitzki because he's balling out, dropping 33 and 35 the last two games. Or a game and a half back, but they're really trying, and he's really trying to get them going. It's going to be a lot to overcome, you know, and being 36 and 37. But, hey, look, one or two games, when you only got 8 or 10 to go, you know, it's very easily could be the Mavericks, you know, getting in there. You just never know. But hopefully the Lakers make it. I think that the Lakers, if Artez gets back towards the end of the first round, Gasol played good the other night, you know, they've got a lot of different players and pieces. I mean, obviously you need Nash and Kobe and Howard to shine, and Jamison and Clark are doing things. I just want to see if the Spurs can be tested by this Laker team, you know? That would be fun to see.
Yeah. So that'd be fun to see. We got a lot to do today, so
let's go to the MLB, baby.
Let's go to baseball. So yesterday, shout out to the newly minted AL West, Houston Astros.
That's right.
They got traded by the league to the AL West. So now
we got just like the Brewers did. Just like our Brewers left the American League, went to the Nationals. So.
Yeah, and they won. They beat the Rangers 8-2, so that really started baseball. But today is what we really consider to be opening day. And we had some interesting things really quickly. Obviously, our Yankees opened up at home against Boston. CeCe Sabathia threw 105 pitches, didn't look very good, gave up 5 runs. Boston beats New York 8-2. Yankees, like our caller Hank said, Yankees are going to have trouble scoring. So if you give up 8 runs, Yankees are going to lose.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Really
hard.
Need to have great pitching and hope that, you know, all these injured bombers get back.
Hey, Youkilis got a double, though, right, against
he
his
did.
Former team.
He got a Youk.
Youkilis got
he
a
got
double.
A Youk.
Did you see him talking to the Red Sox bench, though? They were kind of snapping on him for not having any facial hair. Because, you know, with the Yankees, you have to have a clean shave. So
that's right.
Kind of funny.
Ryan Brenner way. And
yeah,
then some people's pick to win it all. We'll go through our prognostication on Wednesday. But the Washington Nationals on 2 Bryce Harper home runs win against Miami, against the Marlins.
My God.
Hero. The Mets deliver big, 11-2 home opener at the same time as the Yankees were losing. The Mets were winning.
Yeah.
So
listen,
1-0.
There's a lot of diehard Mets fans. My cousin Tommy G, my Aunt Helena. I know my old friend, Corrine Vargas, she's a big Mets fan. So shout out to all the Mets fans that listen to us out there. That's a good start. You got to be encouraged, right? Home opener, 11-2. Go Mets.
Yeah, go Mets. And Jonathan Neese pitched well, and they got 11 runs out of this offense. If I read to you the starting lineup, you'd say, what? Who are these people?
Did you see the Brewers in extra innings? The Brewers win the home opener 5-4.
Yep. In 10 innings, so we got an extra innings game already. But yeah, so for you baseball heads, on Wednesday we've got our baseball preview, like Tay said, with Bob Friendly, the manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, the 2001 Major League Baseball World Champions, and now he was an announcer for the Chicago Cubs for many years, and now he's moved back to Arizona.
TV
and he's announced
color,
the game.
Yeah. Color announcer,
for the Diamondbacks.
And he's doing it with Steve Berhume, who used to be on SportsCenter and ESPN. So he's sort of new, you know, as the play-by-play guy. So that's a nice little team there, Bob and Steve. That should be pretty good for the Diamondbacks and all the Arizona fans out here. We've got a lot of folks that listen to our show from Arizona. So the D-backs, they start off tonight at home against the Cardinals, and they're, you know, got their first 3 games at home. You know what I thought was interesting, though? And it's 1-1 in the bottom of the 8th, the first ever opening day interleague matchup, the Los Angeles Angels against the Cincinnati Reds. That's pretty cool.
That's true. Now that we have 15 teams in each league, there's going to be an interleague game played
every
basically
day.
Every day.
Yeah. So, you know what, before we get into the basketball, why don't we tell them our fantasy, you know, Ray and Tay are doing fantasy baseball, man. So, well, we're going to break down our teams, you know, just real quick, just let you know who you got. So, on my team name is Tay Steals Home, okay? We did a little Yahoo Fantasy, got 12 guys in the league, should be kind of fun. My catcher's Buster Posey at first base. I'm rocking with, Michael Cordova, second base.
Dyer,
From Colorado. Second base, I'm rocking with Robinson Cano. My third baseman, Ryan Zimmerman from the Nats. My shortstop, I went back to the Phillies and got Jimmy Rollins. Hopefully he bounces back. And then I've got the man who hit two home runs in the outfield, Bryce Harper. My other starting outfielder, I have Aki Nicholas. What is this guy? Nikolai Aki. I don't even know this guy from Milwaukee. So, and then my last outfielder I have is Nick Markakis. Nice home run hitter who came through in the clutch for the Orioles.
Yeah,
so that's just the starting. Yeah, that's the starting team. You know, we have bench players and stuff like that. I'm not going to get all into it because we got a lot to talk about today. And then I'll just tell you a couple of my pitchers. You know, I got Johnny Cueto, kind of like him. He's kind of a stud. I got Jordan Zimmerman from the Washington Nats. My best relief pitcher, I went to and got the guy from St. Louis. What you know about Jason Mott?
Yeah,
so I kind of like him. Yeah, I got Mott, and then my other big reliever, Jim Johnson from the Baltimore Orioles. That's
right.
Just a little synopsis. Oh, and don't forget Ian Kennedy.
That's all right. That's going to lose to my team, but that's all right. It's a nice try. It's a valiant effort. You know,
let's see what you got. What's your starter?
So I'm rolling like this. I got Mike Napoli up in Boston as my catcher. Joey Batts. I also have Joey Batts. That's Jose Bautista. But I have Joey Votto at first. I have Jason Kipnis at second from the Cleveland Indians. Look for a big season from him. I got Pedro Alvarez as my third baseman from Pittsburgh. Hits home runs, strikes out a lot, but when he hits it hard. I got as my shortstop Alcides Escobar. And in the outfield, I got some players in the outfield. I got Jose Bautista, Joey Batts. I got Adam Jones from Baltimore. I got Desmond Jennings. Look for him to steal a ton of bases and be a 290, 300 hitter in Tampa Bay. And I got Alfonso Soriano, Jason Kubel. So I got some players. Now, my pitchers, I got two wins already today. So I had John Lester from the Red Sox, and I have Jonathan Neese from the Mets. So I already have
two wins.
And
look
I have Cole Hamels starting tonight at 7:10 against Atlanta. And then I have Chris Sale from the White Sox and Max Scherzer. My relief pitchers are Fernando Rodney and Willemson from Seattle, right? And then Alexi Gondo, if he decides to be a reliever or a star, I got him all over the place. So bottom line is it's baseball time, 162 games. We're going to beginning of October.
Yeah, no, that's why. You know what's so funny? I didn't even realize I got starting tonight for me, Trevor Cahill, who was the number one for the Arizona Diamondbacks. So I do have some local favor. And for you Mets fans out there, I do have Ike Davis and Shane Victorino for the Red Sox. And I just picked up that young stud, Jackie Bradley. So, yeah, so that should be kind of fun.
Nice
actually, start for me tomorrow. I'm sorry. I'm starting Arizona starting for me tomorrow, the guy. So, we're going to have fun. It's going to be fun, and we'll let you know some more about it as we go through the season and update you with our fun. We'll talk about our preview show, like Ray said, on Wednesday. So, listen, let's get into college hoops. And before we talk men, a shout-out to Louisville, the women, in the Sweet 16, and then tonight they go the Elite Eight tonight and tomorrow to get us to the Final Four. But Louisville upsets Brittany Griner and the Baylors. The Baylor Bears, I got to tell you, the refs, the coach, she said, put it on me, and I'm going to tell you straight up. Ask me what you want to ask me about the referees, because they should not be going on and advancing to do any more tournament games. They did a horrible job. And I saw the charge. I got to say, Baylor got hosed, Ray.
Well, first of all, they were beating up Brittany Griner. And that was the game plan. And the way that can be stopped is when the refs start calling fouls. And the refs didn't. They let them play. And, you know,
you have to adjust.
It was too much, but you have to adjust in the game. And Baylor wasn't able to do that. So, you know, they're going crazy. And so they're going crazy. And, of course, well, let's transition. Let's make the transition to the men. And so, you know, Louisville, after what an emotionally taxing day and game, but the women are in the Elite Eight and the men are in the Final Four. So let's talk about that. Louisville beats Duke 85-63, and it's all about the second half, because in the first half it was very close, obviously. I think they were up by
three at the half.
35-32. Yeah, they were up by three at the half, but really the story was that gruesome injury.
God bless him. Ware, who born in the Bronx, a Bronx player who played high school ball in Atlanta, as a lot of city kids do, sometimes they'll go out to other states and go play their high school ball for recruiting. But, you know, I think the difference of having Gorgui Dang and all these guys rally, Bohannon's his best friend on the team. When Kevin Ware, they saw the bone coming out of his leg, all he could tell them was, look, I'll be okay. Go win it for me. And, boy, that's got to be really inspiring. And you know what? Duke, right after that, sort of went on a little run after the injury. And, the game was paused for 9 minutes, 6-2. But then basically after that, they put them on freeze. The Louisville team held Duke scoreless for 8 minutes and 11 seconds. And then for 10 minutes, they only had one field goal. So they went on a 20-4 run in the second half and just blew them out. And in the second half, beat them 50-31. So, you know, Duke tried. But the one thing that I thought, you know, I mean, I know, you know, look, you picked Duke and I went with Louisville. But the one thing that I had to say that I really thought, and the reason why I thought that they would win this game, is because Siva and Smith, the law firm, when they go on their runs, they score so fast and so much. And defensively, it's too intense. I didn't think Curry and Suleiman and Cook would be able to get their shots off, and they could not. They really couldn't. They struggled, and that's why I worry about Curry in the NBA. He's not his brother, and he's not his father.
Yeah, the difference was athleticism on the perimeter. You know, it turns out that Duke only had 11 turnovers in the game. So it's not as if they turned it over that much. So that Louisville press, they were able to break it, although it did get them a little bit out of rhythm.
You know what they did, though? They broke it, and then they kind of chilled.
That was their plan.
I think it was the wrong plan.
And you're probably right, because the problem was, okay, so then you break the press, and then you get across half court with 25 seconds or so left on the clock, and then you can't get off your shot. You're not athletic enough on the perimeter to get off your shot. So maybe Cook can do a little something, and Suleiman is an athletic wing, but that's about it. You know, Curry needs for somebody else to get him the ball off of picks, although he's getting better. He could probably use another year in college, although, you know, he's a senior. He's got to go.
Senior.
But these guys, it just showed you that athleticism on the perimeter – combined with, you know, like you said, Bohannon and Jang, you know, these guys have, and even you know, they came off the bench, Luke Hancock, these guys, Louisville looks good. You realize why they're the number one overall seed. I mean, they're playing the best ball of anybody the last month of the season, right? They had that bad week or 10 days I guess that was in February. But ever since then, where they dropped, you know,
they've
down to 12 or 13 in the country. But they are playing like the best team in the country right now.
But this is the question. Against Wichita State, will they miss Ware? Because Wichita has got some balance too. You know, and we'll talk about it on Friday, really, when we preview the show. But that's the one question that I kind of have. I'm curious to see. Because remember, Ware, he sort of had a big game in the Sweet 16 when Siva got in foul trouble. Where was the glue? Kevin Ware is the first guard really off the bench. Well, him and Hancock, but he was running the point and doing big things, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, they lose depth, but I think they should be all right. Well, let's talk about the other game yesterday. Another blowout. And that was a blowout from jump. I mean, from about 10 minutes into the – or actually, was it 5 minutes into the game? They were up like 20-5 or something like that. So Michigan just put it on Florida. And Tay called it. You know, I had picked Florida over Michigan. And I said, oof, if they played 10 times, it'd be 5-5. But I went with Florida. Tay went with Michigan. And you were absolutely right. And Trey Burke, you know, again, talk about player of the year candidate, played like a player of the year candidate like he has been all tournament. But that whole team and Mitch McGarry and the wing players and Stauskas, you know, the Canadian, who's more athletic than you think. I mean, he can hit his six threes, but he's also pretty athletic. This Michigan team looked good. What'd you think?
Well, the one thing about Michigan is that Trey Burke could handle the press and he could handle any of the pressure and the wave of guards that Florida brings. And what's so great about him is that he'll get a double-double, and he's the last point guard since Billy Donovan, right, ironically, to get double points and double assists, you know, and he had 20-something and 10 the game before, the Sweet 16. Trey Burke was just so under control. So even if Robinson and Hardaway don't always score, like you said, McGarry's been developing, and Saskas, you know, had a great game. Hardaway had, Burke had his 15, Saskas had his 22 or whatever. I mean, the team is just so balanced. But right now, Morgan off the bench and McGarry starting, and the way that they're, like, being so aggressive, Michigan is playing that perfect brand of ball. But my issue is, as much as I love them and as good as they've been playing, Syracuse's length, woof, it's going to be trouble. But they just put it on Florida. Florida didn't have any answer. And Eric Murphy, like, he was sort of the difference against Florida Gulf Coast. He was doing Nathan, him and Kelly were Nathan. 0
for 11.
Michigan.
I mean, that was crazy. He did have his 8 rebounds, but he's 0 for 11. But the stat
he's
of the game is funny, because if you look, you could have found your answers to this whole thing in one number. So Trey Burke, right, had 15 points, 8 rebounds for a little point guard, 7 assists, 3 steals. So all that's great, and that's fantastic, and that's why I believe he's going to win Player of the Year. But the stat of the game was one turnover. He played 35 minutes, and he only turned it over one time. So against menacing Florida team, to only turn it over one time against Scotty Wilbekin, who's a great defensive guard, and that whole pressure that Florida can put on you, look, it also helps that you're playing from ahead, right? So you know, the pressure's off a little bit. They spread the ball out. They really dominated from start to finish. So kudos to Michigan, and let's talk about Michigan's opponent. So yesterday, or 2 days ago, Saturday, Syracuse, another Big East team. So Big East gets 2 out of the Final 4. Syracuse beats Marquette. That's just old foes going at it, right?
Yeah. Well, Syracuse-Marquette was one of those games where you were like, this is the Big East, baby. And, you know, kudos to the Big East proving – there's a 6 year in a row that they have a team in the Final Four, but guess what? They got 2 teams. So the Missouri Valley Conference has Wichita State, the Big East has 2, and then the Big Ten, Michigan gets 1. Big Ten gets 1 with Michigan. But Syracuse, I think, even though Marquette had seen them before, Vanderblue and Wilson and Gardner, the length of that zone, and I think what makes it so tough is that they do, it's like a matchup zone. It's not just a pure 2-3. They sort of, you know, extend the zone and kind of like an amoeba, and they kind of go to the three-point shooters enough that you don't have any real open shots. You don't get open looks. And when Vanderblue and those guys were missing, you know, give shout-out to Fair and these guys, they were getting on the boards, you know, where normally Marquette is very strong at offensive rebounding, and I spoke about that on, you know, before the game. I think Syracuse held their own, and that was the difference for me. They really played so tough, and Boeheim, man, what a coach! He's so underrated. Let's start to give Boeheim the props that I think he deserves as a great coach too. Not just a great recruiter, but a great coach.
Yeah.
really quick on stats, right? I'm going to give you two stats. 38% from the field and 29% from three and 63% from the line. Those were Syracuse's numbers, and Syracuse won by 16 and held Marquette to 39. So Syracuse didn't even play that great offensively, but they caused 14 turnovers, and they held Marquette to 22.6% from the field, 12.5% from three. So Marquette was 3 for 24 from three. They tried to shoot over the zone, which is what Michigan's going to have to do, and if you can't do that, not only are they low-percentage shots, but potentially long rebounds could lead to some breaking opportunities for Syracuse. So, yeah, that Syracuse zone, if you don't have shooters or you can't penetrate and cause havoc or have a big man that can pass at the high post, it can cause trouble. The good thing for Michigan is they get 4 days to prepare for it. It's tough to prepare for Syracuse on the short and, you know, on the 48-hour.
And you can prepare, and Beilein, right, when he was at West Virginia, he played against it. But you can prepare, but the length, you know, you can't really deal with the length and the waves. And Michael Carter Williams, oh, man, and God bless him, his family's house burnt down, and, you know, just that story and, you know, all that he's playing for. But that Syracuse team, this might be not their best team, but I think it was Greg Anthony or Kenny who said it might be their best defensive team. And I think it might be just because of the way that they're sort of interactive, and Trish and just all of them, man. But let's talk about Wichita State, man. That game against Ohio State, it was incredible. And kudos to Wichita State for being able to pull it out. I was
number nine
shocked.
Seed. Yeah,
well, yeah,
not
just number nine, but Ron Baker, my man, the three-point maker, Armstead had a big game. But were you surprised that it seemed like Ohio State, I don't know if they were, like, not active, not getting back on defense, like Sam Thompson and you know, you didn't get much from Ross. Guys didn't seem like they were there to play.
So
I was a little disappointed.
This was the problem in that December, January time frame. Remember, Ohio State was a top five team, top 10 team, and then they dropped down into, you know, maybe the lowest ranking was around 20. And this was the problem, that it was the DeSean Thomas show, and everybody else was a no-show, except for Aaron Kraft, let's say defensively. So that was one of these games. If you look at, you know, LaQuinton Ross really showed up, so I give him credit for really showing up in this tournament. But it really was an Ohio State team that should have been better defensively, gave up 70 points to a Wichita State team. And, you know, they got to be kicking themselves because they're thinking, you know, I don't know if they overlooked Wichita State or what, but this Ohio State team, wow, they're thinking, look, if we got a little bit more from Thompson, if Lenzel Smith Jr. did a little bit more, if, you know, Stott gave
but
us
all
a
of them.
Off the bench.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what, Wichita, I give them credit, is that they've got a good team, man. I mean, and remember this, I don't know what day it was. It was back in probably late February, and we were looking at the top 25, and I said to you, somebody in this honorable mention is going to make it to the Final Four. You didn't really believe me, and who it is?
No, I didn't believe
it.
I'm shocked.
You're shocked. They shocked the world. And kudos to them, man, because they really did shock the world. I mean, a lot of people's brackets are bust. I still obviously have Louisville, but I lost my Florida and my Ohio State, you know, my other Final Four picks. You know, but I got to tell you, you know what's so funny right now? I root for Syracuse because in one bracket, baby, I could win tons of money if my Syracuse Irishman.
How great is it in a year where the number one ranking in the country was hot potato, and, you know, it was a 3, 4, 5 weeks in a row where it was, you know, Louisville, and then it was Duke, and then it was Michigan, and then it was Kansas, and, you know, it was boom, 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 hot potato. No, and I don't think Kansas was number one, but nobody wanted it because it was, it was like, you got it, it was the kiss of death. So how great is it that we've got a one playing a nine and a four playing a four in the Final Four? So that's great. You know, good, couldn't have wanted anything more for this crazy 2013 season.
Yeah, man. Well, listen, we will be back Wednesday. Ray and Tay today will bring you our show with Bob Brenly, our Major League Baseball preview
at
4 p.m. Eastern. So check us out, and thanks for listening. Another great show, talking sports with friends. Let's go Knicks, beat the Heat, and beat Atlanta on Wednesday, but let's beat the Heat. Let's go 9 in a row, Knicks. Let's do it.
We're out.
Peace.